Well, welcome to Christ the King. I'm wearing pink or rose today because today is Gaudete Sunday, which is the Latin word meaning to rejoice. And if you have time today, go on the internet and look up Gaudete or Gaudete song, and you'll hear this beautiful Latin hymn that is traditionally sung on this weekend. And we celebrate Gaudete Sunday, Rejoicing Sunday, because we're halfway through our Advent season, our season of penance. I know some of you have chosen to give up certain things for Advent, kind of like a mini Lent. And we lighten those penances today as we anticipate the nearness of Christmas. And in the spirit of that joy, each one of our readings today gives us words of encouragement. We hear them in our first reading today. It talks about the desert and the parched land. What image comes to your mind when you hear about the desert and the parched land? I don't know about you, but I picture something maybe down in the southwest of the United States where the ground's all dried and cracked open, and that even if you poured water on it, it really wouldn't make a bit of difference. And we can often feel that way, either internally or with the world around us. Maybe we feel spiritually dry, that no matter what we do or what prayers we pray, we still feel dead inside. Or maybe we feel that with the world around us, whether it's the wars going on the other side of the world or the state of our country or many things. It makes us feel like, you know, where's the joy? Where's the consolation? Where's the fine wine that Jesus talks about in the New Testament? Because I feel pretty dry. Well, these are God's words to you, his words of consolation to you today. He says, right after he says talks about the desert and the parched land, he says, they will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. I mean, can you imagine that dried, cracked land sprouting flowers? That's what God wants to do inside you today. He goes on to say, strengthen the hands that are feeble, make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. It will flee. It is not permanent. That state of feeling dry and a parched earth is not forever. These are God's words to you today, especially if you are feeling dry and parched. We're offered also words of consolation from our gospel today. John the Baptist, remember we talked about him last weekend as the pointer, the herald, the one that was to announce the coming of Christ. And in this weekend's gospel, he's been put in jail. And you can imagine how he might feel sitting in jail. His whole purpose, guys, was to announce the coming of Christ. And to this point, he hasn't met the Christ, and now he's been put in jail. So he's got to be wondering, what's going on? I didn't even have a chance to fulfill my purpose. And he probably knows that death is coming. Herod hated him. Why? Because he pointed out to Herod, you can't have your brother's wife. So he's sitting in jail. He knows execution is coming. And he's wondering, was my life even worth it? Was anything I did out there in the desert worth it? All those baptisms. All that preaching. And so what does he do? He sends messengers to Jesus to ask him, are you the Christ? Is all that I've done worth it? Is essentially what's behind that question. And how does Jesus respond? He doesn't say, yes, yes, John, take consolation. I am the Christ. Chill. No. He tells his disciples, go back and tell them what you see. Tell them about the evidence. Guys, often God can respond to us in the same way. We're crying out to God to know that our lives are worth it, that the sacrifices that we make are worth it, that our lives have value in the kingdom of God. And oftentimes we want the easy answer, right? God, tell me I'm doing the right thing. Yes or no? No, he wants you to look at the evidence. To look for how God has been operating in your life versus how you expect him to operate in your life. That's the key. To look at God, how God has been operating in your life versus how you expect him to operate in your life. And that is his word of encouragement to you today. To look for what God has done for you, not what he has not done for you. Lastly, in our second reading, we are given one last word of encouragement. And it says this. Two words. Be patient. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Now, the primary meaning of this is that the early Christians were expecting Jesus, who had risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, they were expecting him to come back again. And they thought he was going to come back very soon, and he hadn't. And so they're being encouraged to be patient. How many of us have a problem with impatience with the end of the world, right? But we should, in a sense, right? Not the whole death destruction part, but as I talked about 2 weeks ago, the excitement of knowing that Jesus Christ's kingdom is coming to fulfillment, that we're awaiting heaven. Yes, please, bring it on. Soon. Don't make us wait. And yet this is also true, that is being patient with each other. And also with ourselves. Many of us are here today are frustrated by our lack of spiritual growth. And in our country, there is a culture that says your spiritual growth has to be instantaneous and radical. And a lot of this comes from a little bit of a Protestant history, and nothing against our brothers and sisters who are Protestant. But some of it comes from this idea that you have to have this radical conversion experience and come to Christ. You go up for the altar call, right? And then you're converted. What about us who never had a conversion experience? I remember in college, people would say, you need to be able to tell your conversion story. Well, here's my conversion story. I grew up in a Catholic family with good Catholic parents. I'm a sinner and Jesus died for me. Voila. Did you find that moving? Guys, it doesn't always have to be this big, spectacular fireworks show. Why? Because sometimes God just works patiently and little by little and not in these big, radical movements. Now, don't get me wrong. Conversion to the gospel does require something radical of us. The gift of our whole heart, our whole lives given over to Christ. But sometimes we must be patient because that happens little by little over the course of our whole lives. Are you patient with your spiritual growth? Not neglectful, but are you patient? You know, we have a tendency to look at this life from the bottom up, meaning we look at the earth and we dream of heaven. Can you imagine what it must be like for those who are already in heaven? They're looking at heaven, looking down at earth, as something foreign to them almost. Because they know that's the place to be. And the Holy Trinity and Mary and John the Baptist and all the saints are up there rooting for us. And today, they want you to know these three consolations. That you will not always feel spiritually dry. That this is just temporary. And that beautiful consolations await you. They want you to know that you should look at what God has done for you, not what He has not done for you. And finally, they want you to know to be patient. Brothers and sisters, God is very patient with us. Should we not also be the same with Him?